Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, former Raven. You know him, you love him. He's Phil Savage. Phil, first of all, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, guys. Hope you are, too, on this Football Friday. Hard to believe. Week 12 in the college season, week 11 in the NFL already.
And a lot of the newsworthy things going on. But before we get into that, let's ask you about the Alliance of American Football and your role in it. It's a league that's going to debut next February. Talk about where Phil Savage fits into that.
Well, I'm the general manager of the Arizona Hotshots. Rick Neuheisel is our head coach, and we're one of eight teams, as you mentioned, in this new Alliance of American Football. Our season will start the weekend after the Super Bowl, so there'll be two games on February the 9th, and then we make our debut on February the 10th against the Salt Lake Stallions and head coach Dennis Erickson. As a matter of fact, we were all in San Antonio. We just got home last night after 3 days of a very unique combine. It was for quarterbacks only, and so we had 50 some odd quarterbacks in San Antonio going through a workout, the measuring. We didn't do any of the testing, but it was primarily a position workout, interviews, and then we will have a draft for this particular set of quarterbacks on Tuesday night, November the 27th, so the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, 8 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports Network. It'll be live from Las Vegas, the Alliance drafting 32 quarterbacks on that Tuesday night.
Hey, Phil, is this basically a developmental league for the NFL?
Vinny, I think long-term it potentially could be. I do think that the timeline of the season starting the weekend after the Super Bowl and ending the weekend of the NFL draft is just the ideal time for players that are on the bubble, players that are currently maybe even on practice squad, to go get 10 weeks of experience and update their film and enhance their skill set and go improve. And so I would say that it absolutely will have a niche. It is not designed to compete against the NFL. It's designed to augment individual players to either get another chance in the NFL or perhaps even get a first chance in the NFL based on what they're doing in the Alliance. But I think the NFL is watching us closely. We don't have a formalized relationship with the NFL, but obviously we've been to a lot of their training camps. We've been to their preseason games. I want to say of the 72 players that we've signed, probably 50 of them have been with an NFL team at some point in time in their career. It may have been only for a weekend. It could have been for 4 or 5 years. But there will definitely be a lot of interaction between the two leagues. It's just not formalized right now. Maybe that'll happen down the road.
Phil, what's a guy get paid?
First year salary will be $70,000 for 10 weeks. Second year is $80,000. Third year is $100,000. The players will report to San Antonio for training camp on January the 4th. All eight teams will be in San Antonio for 3.5-4 weeks, and then we'll disperse to our cities. But that's the pay scale for this league. And, you know, You dealt with agents through the year, and I've had a ton of them tell me that, you know, I would rather my guy come to you guys' league and practice and play for 10 weeks and get some updated film versus signing a futures deal with an NFL team where my guy won't get paid until he makes the team in September, and there's no guarantee of that. So we have a lot of kids that I think will come to us to try to cash in on that $70,000 and then move on to the NFL.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thought. Now, Phil, what if you were GM of the Ravens right now, Joe Flacco basically would not have practiced for 2 weeks. And you know Joe. I mean, maybe your opinion's different, but Joe doesn't seem to play well unless everything is right. And his last two games, he's had a 56 quarterback rating and a 77 quarterback rating. Would you be more inclined to sit Joe in this game?
You know, Vinny, I agree with you. He is a script quarterback, in my view. He's a guy that's not an ad lib, make a lot of things happen on his own. And so this could be an opportunity for the Ravens, obviously, to take a look at RG3. It sounds like Lamar Jackson was sick but would be available on Sunday. The problem is, as we know, this may be the last stand for the Ravens. At 4-5, they lose this game and go to 4-6, your playoff chances will really be dented if you lose this game. And this is an important one for Cincinnati as well. So I'm sure that is weighing on their decisions. But I would suspect that if he has not practiced at all, you know, just one walkthrough tomorrow in the last 2 weeks, I don't know that would really be enough for him to go out there and play Sunday, speaking of Joe Flacco.
Now, who would you start, Phil? Would you start Lamar or would you start RG3?
I think it would depend on how much Lamar can practice today. But if I'm the Ravens, I want to see what he can do as a starter with a game plan designed for him. And I think that's one of the challenges in terms of, you know, publicly, we don't know whether Flacco is going to be up or down, but, you know, privately, they've been putting their game plan together week, and you would think that they already know whether Joe's going to be up or down. And if that's the case, then you have to craft a game plan for either RG3 or Lamar Jackson. I think I know RG3 from an evaluation standpoint. I don't know Lamar Jackson at the pro level. So I would be more inclined to take a look at him, I think, even though this is a very important game in terms of this 2018 season. You don't want to start talking about 2019, but that's the reality of where Baltimore is right now.
Phil, where your evaluation of Lamar was what?
I thought Lamar absolutely could perhaps develop into a pro quarterback. I thought that he needed to go to a team that would be creative with him and create a situation where you could put some things in your playbook that he can do. I don't think you pour him into a traditional offense and say, hey, you know, let's go see what you can do. So I think you needed a coach and a coaching staff with some ideas from the college game to continue to try to enhance that while teaching him the pro game. But I think that he was a line drive thrower from what I saw in college. I think he's got to learn to you know, throw it with different speeds, different touches on the football, a little bit more, take a little off here, put a little bit more on it there. I thought he was a line drive thrower, but because of those legs and his mobility, he clearly is a threat. You just can't rely on that over 16 games. You can do it for a game or two, perhaps, but I don't think that can be a viable part of your strategy with Lamar, because inevitably quarterbacks of the dual threat nature, they break down over the course of an NFL season.
Phil Savage joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Did you view him as a pocket passer at the college level?
I think that with Bobby Petrino, they had a dose of that, and you could see him do some of it. Again, the question that I had on Lamar Jackson was that I thought everything was a fastball. And I think in the NFL, you've got to learn how to throw a curve and a slider to change up. You've got to master a lot of different pitches. And, you know, I think he throws it well enough. I was on the practice field 2 years ago at Louisville. I'm like, wow, he throws the ball better than people think. But again, I think there's some nuances in terms of the actual passing ability that can be taught. And I think he's a willing student, a willing pupil, but I think it is going to be a work in progress.
Hey, Phil, when I was in San Fran, Bill Walsh would not allow us to take a quarterback with under a 20 Wonderlic test. Lamar had a 13. As a GM, what was your feeling on, you know, one, especially with quarterbacks?
You know, I think that that's a standard that may not apply quite as much to today's football, the modern game, so to speak. You see these college offenses. The most difficult part in all this is the communication from the sideline to the field in college football, and the fact that there are a lot of quarterbacks, and I'm not speaking of Lamar, but there are other quarterbacks that we've seen that have had tremendous production in college and never really had to say a word to their teammates or their coaches. It's all coming from the poster boards and the signs from the sideline, and he knows where to go with the football. In the NFL, you really don't have that benefit, and you can't. You've got to be much more versatile than that. I don't know if I'd put a number on it, Benny, but I don't know if this steadfast rule of a 20 or less preempts a guy from not having success because of the zone read, the RPOs. I mean, those are things that, that guys can master. And, you know, we've seen some exceptions to that rule.
Yep, Marino.
Perhaps Lamar Jackson can be one. Steve McNair was one that had a good pro career. It is a red flag, but I don't think it's a death knell for every single quarterback that's coming out of college.
Last question for you, Phil. Can anybody beat Alabama?
I think they can, Vinny, if Tua Tagovailoa is knocked out of the game or would not be able to continue. I was at the LSU contest, and when he went down, even for a singular play, the tenor in that game and on that field really changed. And, of course, he did not finish the Mississippi State game. They say he's going to play against the Citadel tomorrow for whatever reason. I guess he just kind of keeps the same rhythm that they have in terms of preparation. But the reality is that if he's up and healthy, this offense is so good, and he's such a generational talent, and now their defense is rounding into form. I think Clemson's the only team out there that has the defensive line and perhaps the quarterback play that would be able to stay on the field with Alabama. I think Notre Dame and Michigan have had tremendous years. Oklahoma presents a challenge in their own right. Washington State, maybe. But I think it's Clemson and Alabama and everybody else, in my humble opinion.
Phil Savage. Phil, we appreciate your time. We'll be watching the Alliance of American Football. Hopefully we'll be talking to you before then.
Okay, guys. I appreciate it. Vinny, always great to catch up. Thanks.
You got it, Phil.
Phil Savage here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.